We want to welcome you to Healing Place, and many have joined through the web, through television. Thanks so much for being with us, and I believe that God is going to speak to your heart. Today we're talking about a now offering, a now offering. There is a television program that we keep on our television lot. I love watching it. Probably if I'm flipping the channels and I run across this television show, I get hooked on it. I'm hooked on this television show. I can't go past it without spending some time watching it. It's not American Idol. It's not Lost. It is a show on the Food Channel. I love the Food Channel. Food Channel stays on a lot in our home. It's the Food Channel and the Home Channel. That kind of stays on in our home. But the Food Channel stays on for about 23 hours. And what did we do before the Food Channel? Did we cook? I don't remember what we did before we had the Food Channel on. It's just amazing to watch other people cook and to find out things. I love it. I love it. And there's an amazing television show that's on the Food Channel called Unwrapped. Unwrapped. I love this show. This is about some incredible, I think they're just legendary personalities among us. And so the show Unwrapped has incredible actors, and they highlight themes and plots, and they have these stars, and some of the stars are named like Red Hots, Gummy Bears, Almond Joy, Lay's Baked Potatoes, and they have one of the phenomenal, probably Oscar-winning Academy Award people, and that's called Cracker Jack. I mean, that's the guy. And here's what Unwrapped does. Unwrapped takes the story of candy and snacks and maybe food that we grew up with, a food that when we were young, maybe some of you are, you know, you look back on your life and there was a certain candy, there was a certain snack, Mr. Good Bar, or there were other things in your, you know, just different things, moon pies, all these different things that you grew up with. And so they take these snacks and candy, and they tell the story. They give you the history of, you know, what this was about. They go back and show you where it came from and who came up with this and why they do it the way they do it and how the process behind the scenes brought out the product that we have. And what I love is they go to the factory. They interview people that are spokespeople for like Hershey's or spokespeople for other, you know, snack makers. And they kind of tell the story as if they're talking about a part of their family. They just say, you know, we just love these gummy bears. And they've been with us now 75 years. And we just love the journey. The other day they did one on Dippin' Dots. So they'll do one kind of current. You kind of figure out how did it come to pass? Where did we get these things? And so this is the story. They give you a perspective on how, why, what. And I just love that show. I watch it. I just can't get away from it. I just love seeing the process. I love seeing it unwrapped because I've enjoyed it, but now I know the meaning. I know what's behind something that I have enjoyed so much. And so I love that principle. Whoever came with that idea, I think, is incredible. This is now how this relates is this is Miracle Offering Weekend. This is one weekend out of the year. We give our tithe and our offerings every single week. We believe in the tithe. Tithe means tenth. We give a tenth of what God has blessed us with, and we give it first. We believe in being a person and people of the first. So we give God first our tithe, and we give offerings. We give offerings to missionaries. We'll give offering to guests that are here that are representing different types of ministries and different types of things around the place. So we do this, but once a year we give a miracle offering where we all come together as a church at all of our campuses and we bring an offering to the Lord. And here's my prayer this weekend. Maybe it's the first time you've ever been here. Maybe you've been visiting our church and you've been hearing about this miracle offering. What does that mean? We've been praying. Why would we plan? Why would we prepare? Why would we participate? Why would we talk about such of a thing as an offering? What does that mean? And my prayer has been that during this time and during our few minutes together is that the Holy Spirit will help you and I to see behind the scenes biblically what it means to be an offering or to bring an offering. My prayer has been that the Holy Spirit would unwrap this for us to see what it means to be people of the offering, people that believe in an offering, people that believe that we offer up our life, We offer up our heart. We offer up our family. We offer up our resources. We offer up our time. What does it mean? Is it just an expression? Is it just about money? Is it just about dollars? Or could there be something behind the scenes that could be unwrapped in Scripture? Not my context, not my mindset, not my experience, not my religious bent, but could there be something unwrapped out of Scripture about offering that could impact my life? And I could truly see what God wants me to see about my life being an offering. I tell you what to expect a little bit, because this service is a little bit different, and we kind of shake this service up a little bit different. And we've been doing this for 6 years. Around this time of the year, we receive a miracle offering. We believe that we're living in urgent days. We're living in days where we believe for supernatural faith. We're believing that from the end of the year till the end of the year, from right now to the end of the year, over and above our tithe, over and above our tithe, that we together, we're believing God, will give $1.6 million toward our kingdom builder, which is our miracle offering. Miracle offering is a part of kingdom builder. It's over and above our tithe. And all of that at this time is going towards our new facility. We take 10% out of that. We spread it out, and it helps us to add to our mission. That's what we're believing for from today to the end of the year, that all of us together, because we feel like as we move forward in the urgent times we're living in to move in our new facility, that's where we really feel like the Lord wants us to be and where we need to be. So these are urgent times. So we sense the urgency about the times that we're living in as we reach people. So the service is a little bit different. And so as we've worshiped together, we believe giving is worship. Giving is not a time where we kind of, okay, I need to check up on my text messages, or offering is a good time to take the baby to the restroom, or, you know, take, you know, me for me to go get a drink of water. You know, we believe our offering and our giving, we do it every week. But what does it mean? Is it routine? Is it just something that we do? We believe it's holy. We believe the Bible teaches that it's worship. And so we're going to, at the close of our service, take our tithe and our offerings. Our tithe and our offerings. And we're going to worship God. We're going to come back and worship. And so all together, we're going to find different containers that are all across this room. And we're going to actually bring our offering. Now, every week we normally pass containers where we bring the container to you. But then today, because it's a special service, just a unique opportunity to worship, you're going to move from where you're at, and you're going to find a container, and you're going to actually bring your offering. Because you've prayed about this, or you're praying that, and we're going to worship God together. You say, "Well, Adina, I came and I'm not prepared. Didn't come prepared for this. I've been gone, been working shift work, things like that." Well, for the next several weeks, you just write on your envelope, you continue to participate with this. We will not announce this kind of towards December, and we give all the way to the end of the year, just so we'll all be clear kind of what this means. And some of you give online. It's amazing how online giving has so increased to us as a church. Even this thing called like a bill payer, where you pay your bills, and then when you pay your bills through your bank service, you go ahead and tithe, or you give offerings. And maybe that's the way you give, or you're watching online and you want to participate. Well, online you can participate through Kingdom Builders or through the tithe that's right there online. So all of us can be a part of this. All of us can still come together and worship God with our giving. Because the Bible talks about how we worship God with our offerings. We worship God with our offerings. We actually present our offerings to God. That's what it's all about. So it's faith-filled. We're going to be able to take this, spread it out to make a difference. This past year, you built a roof in Honduras on a medical area that was able to be taken place due to the miracle offering. You poured sidewalks in Mozambique so that children can get to church and have an area to play in. You painted orphanages in Mexico. We were able to do more because of our kingdom builder and our miracle offering. And that's what we're doing together. I was reading this week, and I came across a scripture in Psalms 20. I've been reading a lot of Psalms this week. Dylan showed me one in Psalms 112 that's so encouraged about the promise of the generous. I read one this morning in Psalms 115. Since the word, it tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. And as I read Psalms 115, my faith grew in my heart. Psalms 20 is very unique. And I came across this statement, it caught my heart. This phrase jumped out of me in Psalms 20, verse 1 through 3, as it relates to the offering. It says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble." Verse 1, "May the name of God, may the name of the Lord, may the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Now, I love this phrase. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifices. David says, may he remember all of your offerings. May he remember all of your offerings. That God Almighty would remember your offerings to him. You know, offering is a central theme of Christianity. Do you know the word offering is mentioned over 718 times in Scripture? So when you read the Bible, there's a theme. You can see throughout the Scripture that there's theme of when we bring offerings to God. What does that mean? What does that mean when we hear that? What does the Bible mean when you see different people in the Bible bringing an offering? I know that Moses was a man of offering. Abraham was a man of offering. David was a man who really moved the kingdom of Israel forward due to his heart for offering. Isaiah was a man who experienced God in the presence of the offering. Daniel was a man who offered to God daily. He brought things before the Lord. He brought an offering, and he was an offering to God. What does it mean? What does it relate to when we think of the world? When I said today we're receiving a miracle offering, what do you connect that to? What is the word association? What would be the mental picture that you would have when you would think of the word offering? What does that bring you to? Does that hook the wagon to something in reference to each of our contexts? What does it mean? Do you know what? The word offering is very important in Scripture. What do we think about it? We think of the word offering. How does that relate to our heart? Is it just something we do? Is it an event? Is it a moment in a service? Is it something that a church came up with? What does it mean? Or is it a matter of the heart? Could it be this theme in Scripture? Could it be where the Bible mentions this word and over again, there's these details all throughout Scripture, all throughout the Old Testament, and even into the New Testament about what it means to be an offering and to bring an offering? Could it have something to do with my life today? Could there be a power? Could there be a promise in my life? Because maybe you've been a person of the offering. Maybe you don't know what it means to be an offering. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, I've been giving. Would that be considered an offering? What does it mean? See, I believe God wants to say something to us. I believe God wants to give us a promise. What does the word mean? It simply means to bring. It means to go toward. It means to give. It means to present. It means to sacrifice. It means to donate. It means to devote. And I love this word that the word offering means in the Hebrew. It means to adore. To adore. An offering means to adore. It means to worship. This whole book is about offering. Offering is something that God came up with. The whole being of a believer is in the context of offering. I'll show you some things in Scripture as it relates to offering. It says this, that is what Christ did for us. That what Jesus did for us on the cross, God saw it as an offering. Over and over again, it says in Hebrews how Christ was our offering. Christ became our offering. That Christ offered up once. Now there's therefore no reason for anything other person, or there's no reason for the blood of something else to be offered up, because the blood of Jesus was an acceptable offering to God for us. It says it in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, that Jesus Christ is referred to as our offering. So if Jesus refers to it as himself, it's got to mean something. Also tells us in Scripture in Psalms 51 that he looks for it from our life. That he just doesn't look for it on the external thing. It's just not something that we do. It's something that really we become. It's something of the heart. It says this in Psalms 51. For you do not desire sacrifice, else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. It's just not about the externals. Look what the Bible says in verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh, these, Lord, you will not despise. David says to God when he's going through this time where he's trying to find out God's will and there's been some mistakes. He says, oh God, I want to bring you this and I want to bring you that. Can it just be external things? But he says, you know, really what you're looking for is you're looking for an offering of the heart. You're looking for me to live a broken life. You're looking for me to live a surrendered life. Really what you're looking for is a person who is devoted to you and stays devoted to you. God, that's what pleases you. That's what you won't despise. Matter of fact, you would desire that when my life is an offering and I bring an offering of my heart to you. That's what you're looking for. It even tells us in Romans chapter 12 how God Almighty identifies you and I to an offering. She's saying, our life is that. It says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer what? To offer your bodies, everything you are, as a living sacrifice. You are to be a living sacrifice, a living offering, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. It's our spiritual act of worship. Says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will. Romans tells us that God is looking, God is searching, God finds us as an offering, and it's a pleasing sacrifice. And in that pleasing offering, when you and I embrace that my life is to be an offering, my life is to be adoration, my life is to be devotion to you, God, that God is pleased with it. We become a living sacrifice in that we find the will of God, in that we are our spiritual worship to God. What Romans tells us. You know, I just pray and I just said, Lord, as we come together today to bring an offering and to be an offering, Lord, I want you to help us to know what it's all about. What does this mean? God, Lord, let us understand the conversation and the truth that you're having with us out of the word. What does it mean to be a person of the offering? Have you ever had a conversation with someone, maybe a child or something like that, and you were halfway talking to them, you knew they weren't getting it? Can I have a good amen? My mother at times, I was so distracted, I know it's hard to believe. My mother at times would place me, when she would want to talk to me, she would place me in a place where there was nothing going on behind her. She did not want any television, any movement. She didn't want there to be a window. She didn't need there to be anything in the background, because if I was looking at her and there was something moving in the background, I had a habit of getting distracted or drifting away from what I needed to hear, drifting away from the instructions, drifting away from the wisdom, drifting away from the correction that she was bringing me. So my mother would sit in a place where I would look at her and it would be nothing but a blank wall. Do you know we live in a world today that has so many voices? There is so much movement that is going on. There are so many things that are being offered to us. There are so many things that are coming into our life. So many thoughts, so many distractions, so many different things going on. And if you and I are not careful, many times, if we're watching everything else and we're depending on everything else and we're drifting from everything else, what actually starts happening is we do not hear what God wants to say to us. And we just go through the motion, but we're not getting it. And my prayer today is that, Lord, help us not to be where there's so many different voices and so many different images that are coming our life that we miss something that is so spiritual, so biblical, and so true for us, what it means to bring an offering and to be an offering. Holy Spirit, unwrap this for us, because we want to be pleasing in your sight. Because today we bring a part of our heart. We bring a part of our life. We bring a part of our desires. We bring a part of our faith. We bring our dollars, our dreams, we bring our hope, and we bring it all to him as an offering. That's the picture that God gives us biblically. You know what? We never want to underestimate what our presenting is all about. See, our envelopes that we give, and we'll present envelopes. You say, well, Dean, I'm just bringing that to a container. No, you're not. You're offering it up to God Almighty. See, if all we're doing is bringing it to a container, if all we're doing is bringing it to a building, if all we're doing is bringing it to a man, then that's the only reward we're going to get. I plan on offering up to the King of Kings and to the Lord. I plan on offering up my resource and my heart and my life and a part I am. I plan on offering it up to be an offering for God's use. Lord, take my offering and use it as an offering to reach people. That's what we do. If you didn't know that, maybe the first time, you didn't know that that's how it is. And maybe you've been coming to our church for a long time. If you didn't know what that was about, that's exactly what it's all about. We give it to God. You say, well, God doesn't need it. What's God going to do with all those envelopes? God doesn't need it. He doesn't, but you know what? He wants all of us. He wants all of us. He doesn't want part of you. He wants all of us. So he takes it to use it. And he uses it. And he uses it to reach others. We take our offering and we give it to God. God takes our offering and he uses it to reach other people. I got a secret for you if you didn't know this. God is using you. You're being used. You are being used. You are being used. You are being used. When I was a senior in high school, my sister sold a car. I had a car we had a payment on. My dad came to me and he said, I'm going to give you my sister's car. I'm going to give you your sister's car. We're going to sell your car because it has a payment. She's now making her own payments, which was a miracle of God Almighty. So you're going to take the car that doesn't have payment. Do you know what that was? I was a senior in high school, 2 weeks into being a senior. It was a 1978 Corvette, L82 with T-tops. He says, so this is going to help me out. I'm good. I'm good, Dad. I'll do that for you. He said, now you're just going to drive it for a year or two because I'm going to sell it in a year or two. But if you'll do that, it puts us in a better situation. And so do you mind driving this? Will you take it? Yeah, Dad, I feel the Lord, and I'll move in this direction for you. L82 black T-tops. I'll never forget driving to school. It was 2 or 3 weeks into school. Man, it was a beautiful car. I so loved it. Interesting thing during that time, there was a girl that was a cheerleader. She was real popular, one of the head cheerleaders. For some reason, she started hanging out with me. I was like, cool. What's up? And homecoming was about a week away. And right before homecoming, about 4 days into it, she said, stopped me one day in the hallway and said, are you going to homecoming? It's like, no, I'm just going with some of the fellas. It's kind of what we're doing this year. It's kind of a cool thing to do. She said, why don't we go together? She said, do you mind if I ask you to homecoming? Would you be my date to homecoming? I said, well, girl, go ahead. I mean, if that's what you feel, go for it. I mean, why not? Check it out. So she asked me to homecoming. About 2 days before homecoming, she called me. She said, oh, by the way, I'm on homecoming court, and we ride around the track in cars. And she said, do you mind during halftime if I can ride on the back of your Corvette? You just drive me around the track, kind of present me to the field. Is that okay since we're going to homecoming, you're my date? Cool, girl, that's great. That's fantastic. So I get there Friday, drive around the track, halftime, homecoming. I mean, it's crazy. I loved homecoming. It was great. Walked out, everything. She didn't win, but, you know, she was all visible and all that kind of stuff. Well, afterwards, we did a little gathering, a little get-together. Midway through the get-together, I couldn't find her. I said, what's up? I'm dancing all by myself. All by myself. So I'm just kind of chilling. Dude walked up and said, where's Tanya? I said, I don't know. He said, Dino, you were being used. No, I wasn't. I'm being used. He said, when did you get the car? 2 weeks ago. When did she start talking to you? 12 days ago. Where is she? I don't know. You're being used. And it dawned on me. I was being used. But I played off like, nah, bro, I was good. I knew all along. So you got to play it off. I was being used. I got used. God wants to use you. Because you've been used by things that were a whole lot worse. Is anybody hearing me? You've been used by things that didn't care about you. You've been used by people who didn't care about you. You've been used with things that had no concern. And guess what? Had no eternal value. You and I have the opportunity and the invitation to be used by God. Church, can I tell you something? You have been used. You've been used this year. I want you to think about this, just cooking for Christ. This is how God has used your offering. This is how God has used your giving. This is how God has used you surrendering your life to Him. Cooking for Christ this year has cooked over 47,000 meals just in 2009 alone for people. Baton Rouge Dream Center down on Winborn, where we reach out to people in the community. You've served and reached out to 8,142 people just in the last 10 months. Our serve team, which goes out about every week in some areas of our community, letting people know that Jesus cares about them, has served over 33,200 people, have personally been cared for through our serve team. God's been using you. Our mobile medical Healing Hands Ministry, caring for people who are in a health situation, cared for 1,292 patients this year already for free health care for people. God's been using you. He's used your offering. Our helps ministry, who cooks meals for maybe those in the hospital or had a baby or experienced a loss of a loved one. 1,544 meals you have prepared and delivered to people to present it as an offering to God Almighty. And think, because you offered, 5,393 visitors have walked through these doors and the doors of the annex. Almost 5,400 visitors have come to church here this year alone. Just this year. And out of all those visitors, guess what? 678 of them, heaven rejoiced because they said yes to Jesus Christ. This year alone, so far. Those are just ones we know about who filled out a card and said, today I'm making the decision to receive Jesus as my Savior. Out of those 678, you know what? 327 of those have been baptized in water. Said, I want to get baptized as a sign of a new beginning. You have been used. So today, you know what we do? We're going to be used some more. We're going to keep being used to reach people. We're going to bring our offerings to build. We're building a new facility. You know what we're doing? We're building more space so that we can turn around and fill up the space. We build a facility so that we can open it up and then turn around and reach out to other people. Because ultimately, we offer it back up to God. We bring an offering to build a facility right now to, guess what? To then turn around and offer it back to Him for Him to use. That's what being an offering and bringing an offering really biblically is all about. We bring it to God so that God takes it and He uses it and offers it to someone else in a lot of different ways so that they can know about the ultimate offering, which is Jesus Christ. That's what our offerings do. We offer up our resources. We offer up our time. We offer up green beans. We offer up brownies. We offer up Jiffy for the purpose of offering it to someone so that maybe through this act of kindness, maybe through this act of compassion, they can somehow or another find out about the ultimate offering of the universe, which is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That's what we do. We offer so that God takes it and uses it as an offering. That's what our offering is all about. If you ever wondered, is it just a time in service where we go through the motion or we fog out? It's not that. It is worship to God. It is giving into what God is doing. We offer to God and He uses it as an offering. To do what? To reach a person. One person. A soul. A life. That matters to Him. That's why we do it. It's what we do with what we have. It's what we do as a church. End of the day, it's what the church is all about. Reaching people for the cause of Jesus Christ. One person at a time.